Joining. Okay, today is Wednesday, May 13th. The time is 3:41 p.m. This is the time and place of the Public Art and Community Design Committee. I ask that our PAC DC administrator establish quorum with a roll call, please.
Adia Jamil, Adrian Ackerman, Alicia Vasquez,
Present.
Anne Lopez,
Here.
Brandon Varela, Jacqueline Jean Barrios, Jacqueline. Okay, we'll come back to you. Dusty Reyes, Leanne Hernandez, Jim Glock,
present.
Janet Fisher,
Here.
Lizzie Golden,
Present.
Logan Green,
here.
Maureen Lewick, Melissa Brown Dominguez, Nancy Fung, Valerie Sipp,
here.
Wesley Cree,
present.
Lily Tate,
wrong button, here.
Thank you. And then Jacqueline Jean Barrios. And you're on mute, Jacqueline, if you're talking. Okay, well, let the record show that our PAC DC member, Jacqueline Jean Barrios, is in the room. I'm not sure if you're having audio issues. I'll text you. But with Jacqueline, we have 11 members who are present.
Great. Thank you. And will that text confirmation suffice for like quorum purposes? Oh, you're on mute now.
Sorry, I believe so. She is in the room, and so technically she is present, but I'll confirm via text.
Sounds good. Please correct me if I'm wrong. I know you're double multitasking right now, CD, and I appreciate it. I'm seeing Kelly as our only guest or outside attendee right now.
Yes, we have attendees in the waiting room. I tried to promote them to panelists, Gabriel and Nathan, but they declined.
Oh, okay.
They want to come into the main room.
We'd love to have you introduce yourselves if you would like. Kelly, I know you joined us at our last meeting, but if you would like to go ahead and just introduce yourself again.
Absolutely. Happy to do it. Thank you. My name is Kelly Way, and I am the city's cultural affairs officer working out of the city manager's office.
Thank you. And I see Gabriel joined. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Hi, everyone. My name is Gabriel Olguin, and I'm the council advisor for Councilmember Selena Barajas, Ward 5.
Thank you.
And then real quick, Chair Ackerman, Jacqueline Jean Barrios, can you confirm that you're here for the record?
Yes, sorry, everyone. I had a kind of an admin call I needed to take, but I'm here.
No worries. Great. Do we have any other guests or attendees?
No, we have a community member for call to the audience.
Okay, wonderful. Well, I think we're all familiar with staff on the call and one another at this point. So I'll move on to agenda item number 3. This is the call to the audience. And let's see. Just making sure I've got everything here. Okay. This is a time when any member of the public may address the Public Art and Community Design Committee members. Due to time constraints, the total time allocated for this is 15 minutes. Individuals are allowed 3 minutes each. At the conclusion to the call to the audience, members of the public body may respond to a personal criticism made by those who have addressed the public body, may ask staff to review a matter, or may ask that a matter be put on a future agenda. Please note that personal criticisms do not include criticisms of a policy, project, proposal, etc. Members of the public body shall not discuss or take legal action on matters raised during an open call to the public unless the matters are properly noticed for discussion and legal action. And I see we're being joined by Felix Lawrence. Is that our only community member for a call to the audience today, Sadie?
Yes.
Okay. Felix, hi.
Well, good afternoon. I've got 3 points to cover this afternoon. The public art plan, which is coming up in June, and a private free wall here in Charlotte, North Carolina, and finally, the removal of the Chavez statue. The public art plan is 2 years old, and in June, it'll be coming up for approval once again. And if any of you on this committee have any ideas about public art, the public art plan is a great place to get your ideas moving towards implementation. If you can get them in the plan, that's one step closer to implementation. Now, in the last 2 years, the committee has not made any changes to the public art plan. And in fact, last year, Mr. Reyes and Mr. Glock told the current chair of this committee that this committee had no authority to make any change whatsoever, even the most minor change to verbiage in the plan. This is simply a lie. This is not true. If you read Directive 7, that's the foundational document for this committee. This is where the city created the committee and delegated power to the committee. It's very clear that this committee does have power, and it works just like any other action item. You make a motion to change the public art plan. Someone seconds the motion. Then there's a discussion and a vote. And if the vote carries, the public art plan gets modified. So if some staffer here at the Arts Foundation or somebody on this committee claims once again this year that the committee has no such authority, they are simply wrong and they're simply speaking a falsehood. Okay, so that's coming up next month. I really hope that somebody makes some change to this plan, because that would demonstrate that you on this committee have some ideas about public art. I do not believe that the status quo is perfect and could not be improved in some way. So please prove me wrong and do something with this public art plan. Here in Charlotte, North Carolina, I discovered a private free wall. It's ultimately controlled by a rich developer. It is not a First Amendment opportunity for the general public, although it appears to be from on the surface. Ultimately, the rich developer decides what artwork gets to remain on site and which gets destroyed. So this underscores the weakness of a private property free wall, in that when you're taking charity from a rich person, ultimately that charity comes with strings attached. And that's the problem with a private free wall. And finally, the Chavez statue. On the agenda today, you will be asked to form a subcommittee to officially endorse the city, an action that the city has already taken. Now, here's a metaphor for this. Imagine somebody steals your car. You know who stole it, but you don't report the theft because you know nothing's going to be done. Then a month later, the guy comes back and asks you to sign over the title of that car to him. That's what's happened here. The city has stolen your authority and trampled on your jurisdiction and is now coming back and asking you for a retroactive clemency for what they did. And please don't do it.
Thank you, Mr. Lawrence. Your time is up.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Whoops, sorry. I was muted this time. And still no one else for call to the audience?
Correct.
All right. I have some information to share about the public art plan and a conversation I had with some of the folks at that kind of free wall installation that Felix was just referring to later in the agenda. But for now, we can move on to item number 4, committee member activity reports. So this is an opportunity for any committee member to share an event they have going on, a project they would like to have some colleagues participate in, or something in the community that you think is noteworthy coming up between now and our next meeting, or at any time. So open up the floor to see if there are any committee member activities to report. In this group, nothing? It's getting hot. Things are slowing down.
I'll go ahead and share our upcoming event. It's Groundworks. We do a Camp Groundworks, our kind of capstone event of the year and fundraiser, and that'll be in August, August 28th, 29th, and 30th. And I will send out a flyer to the group right after this meeting so I don't forget. And this is our time where we are now like planning the event and seeking funds for the event and sponsors and things like that. But it's going to be a great artistic event for youth.
Awesome. Thank you, Logan. And feel free, like with all things that we announce here, to send it to Sadie so she can send it out to the group so we avoid any quorum issues. But also, I would encourage you to send out any of those details of the things you're seeking, because there's a really well-connected and resourced group here that might be able to help your efforts. Any other activity reports? Okay, well, I'm just going to take this opportunity to give you a heads up, because we've talked about this a few times the last few meetings. At the end of the meeting, towards the end of the meeting, item number 9, report on education and outreach efforts, I will be asking specifically, kind of doing a roll call down the roster and asking folks which opportunities they're going to promote in their personal networks, whether with the office that has appointed them or with other groups that they have connections with in town, and like by what date they might be able to do that, because at the next meeting we'll check in and see how those personal outreach efforts are going. So this is, I'm announcing this under committee member activity report because it's a part of conversations that we've been having in the education subcommittee, in the planning meetings for this meeting, and amongst ourselves for a while now. And so we're going to put that into action today and see how it feels for everyone. So I just wanted to plant that seed, put a pin in that for item number 9. And then I'll save the other education for that item. Okay. So moving on to item number 5, the Public Art Director's Report. This is an overview and update on upcoming public art projects from Public Art Director Willen. Willen, please.
Hey, everybody. Welcome. Thanks for joining this month, helping us make quorum. Just a couple quick updates. Happy to share that the artworks by Charles Clement that we've been talking a lot about, the turnkey ones that are in 2 active construction zones, we are working hand in hand with the city to put those into secured city-owned storage for our conservators to look at and wait until that subcommittee starts just deliberating on their recommendation. So it's a temporary relocation for safety purposes. So that's fun and exciting. And I want to thank the Relocation DX Session Subcommittee for pushing that recommendation. Thank you, Jim, Kelly, Wes. I think that's all of you. I could be wrong. And the next thing is the roster that we want to launch for the next 2 years, open for 2 years, closes in less than 2 weeks. So if you haven't done so, please nudge any artist, regardless of their level of art making. All are encouraged to apply. And that's it for me. Everything else is the same.
Great. Thank you, Willen. Just a follow-up question on the deaccession process. Were we able, I know at the last meeting, we were curious if the South Park Neighborhood Association was going to be invited to the upcoming meetings, or if if they had responded, I guess, to be a part of those. And I don't know if this is a question for you or UU, but just curious if there's any update on that.
I could chime in. We haven't scheduled a follow-up meeting from the last one, but we are going to invite all the interested stakeholders at the next meeting.
Okay, cool. Thanks.
And the neighborhood committee and Selena Barajas were at the last meeting. So they're in the loop and voicing their opinions on the matter. Sorry to jump in.
No, that's great information. Thank you. Awesome. Okay, wonderful. Any comments, questions for Willen on the report? Hearing none. Okay, we'll move on to item number 6, review and approval of the April 8th, 2026 meeting minutes.
This is Jim Glock. I'll move approval.
Great.
I'll second.
So Jim moves, Ann Lopez seconded. I'm going to kick off discussion. I have one small change. I believe it is on, let's see. The pages aren't numbered, but it's the bottom of item 3, the call to the audience. And it's my comments to Mr. Lawrence asking that if people take a substantive issue with how we operate to give us, it's supposed to be a chance to interact, not a change to interact. I think it was just an autocorrect.
Okay, let's see.
So I'm sorry, I didn't catch that before.
No, you're fine. Okay, I have revised that.
Any other comments, questions, revisions to the minutes? Okay. Hearing none. Do we need to amend the motion for the amendments, or do we just take a roll call now with that change in there?
I mean, ideally the revision will come before the motion to approve, but if
I'm happy again, to you wanna... move the minutes as amended.
Thanks, Jim.
Second.
Thank you. That's an excellent point of clarification for me as chair. So just, sorry, y'all, learning moment here for me. So introducing the item, I thought that there was motion and then discussion, but it's, we should add revisions before the motion for this item in particular. Is that?
I would argue that there's nothing to say that you as a chair can't make a motion in Robert's Rules of Order. So you could make an order, the motion with that amendment to start things off.
Noted. But if I was not the one that had the amendment to make,
then the person who had the amendment to make would be the appropriate person to make the amendment and then move it as amended.
Got it. Thank you. Thanks, everyone, for your patience as I learn how to chair with Robert's rules. Thanks, Jim. Appreciate your expertise. Okay, so we'll have a roll call vote, please, Sadie.
Thea Jamil. Adrian Ackerman.
Approve.
Alicia Vasquez.
Approve.
Ann Lopez.
Approve.
Brandon Varela. Jacqueline Jean Barrios.
Approve.
Dusty Reyes, Leanne Hernandez, Jim Glock,
approve.
Janet Fisher,
approve.
Lizzie Golden,
approved.
Logan Green,
approved.
Maureen Lewick, Melissa Brown Dominguez, Nancy Fung, Valerie Sip,
approve.
Wesley Cree,
approve.
Lily Tate?
Approve.
Thank you, and motion passes.
Great, thank you. Okay, really quick, before we move on to the next item, Wilwyn, I just want to let you know that I'll probably be asking you in item number 9 to share. I think at the last meeting, we tabled sharing the upcoming opportunities for joining committees and how to share committee opportunities for this meeting. So I forgot to give you a heads up that on item number 9, I'll ask you to walk us through that portion of the director's report. So I just didn't want to forget that. Okay, item number 7, the relocation / deaccession of the Cesar Chavez sculpture at 18th Street and 6th Avenue. This is a request for formation of a deaccession subcommittee for this sculpture, for these sculptures. And Yu will be walking us through this item.
Okay, thank you, Adrian. Thank you all for being here. I'm going to share my screen here. Can you all see my screen?
Not yet.
Oh. Okay, here we are. Better? Okay. Okay, so thank you all for being here. This agenda item is for the Cesar Chavez sculpture. It was installed in 2020. The artist is Luis Mena, and it is in casted bronze. This is a pretty notable intersection, the Five Points intersection. It's 18th Street, 6th Ave, and Stone, so it's located closer downtown. Here's a little bit of a debrief on how the project came to be. The artwork was commissioned in 2014 as part of a targeted initiative to enhance the Five Points intersection. It was designed as a gateway and identity installation. The piece was intended to serve as a visual anchor for the historic intersections of these five neighborhoods. It also is part of Ward 1 and Ward 6. So this is the original fabrication of the sculpture here on the left. And on March 18th, there was an investigative report detailing abuses by Chavez. Immediately afterwards, the artwork was vandalized to prioritize public safety and respond to overwhelming national and community opposition. The city executed an emergency removal on March 25th. So here an image on the right shows paint just poured over the statue. And what I didn't show here is the context in which the statue is situated. So it's on the very north corner of that V section of the Five Points intersection. So it's a little bit difficult to really stand back and view the sculpture, but that is impetus for public safety and removing it. So again, just images of the artwork that was vandalized. Here on the left is just a close-up view of the red paint. And here is the pedestal that has remnants of the paint and aftermath of the removal of the sculpture. So both the sculpture and the archway that says Cesar Chavez's name has been removed from the site. This image on the right, you can see when you're headed north on 6th Ave, the archway was removed immediately following the sculpture's vandalism to prevent further damages and also to ensure public safety. So here is just an image of it being removed. So criteria for deaccession was stated as the artwork endangers public safety and had been determined to be significantly incompatible and inferior to the context of the rest of the collection. A little bit of the guidelines. The deaccession subcommittee will review and evaluate the artwork in the context of the whole collection. We have notified Luis Mena, and we'll invite him, you know, to the subcommittee once that has been formed. And because it was installed in 2020, the 5 years has lapsed from the date of installation, so we have met those criteria. And just again, a little overview of how this process works. We were initiated by the city to do the STEEG session subcommittee. PACDC, right now we're reviewing this request, and then it'll go to subcommittee, will form input and evaluations, and then it'll come back to PACDC for final approval of the recommendation. It'll go further up the chain, Arts Foundation Board, and then city manager. Okay, and that is all for this presentation. And if you have any questions, open the floor back up to you all. Thank you.
Thanks, Yu-Yu. Just want to open it up to any questions, comments, thoughts.
Is it still too early to know if there's going to be like another sculpture that's going to take its place honoring the movement still, or is that something that is like far beyond the future?
Will, when, if you have more input on that.
Not at least nothing's happening right there. After we reviewed the space, it's not a viable spot for artwork. It should have never been placed there. It's too close to the roads. It's very close to violating ADA compliance, and people that want to view it have to back up and walk into the street to do it. So that location is just going to be cleared from any kind of objects.
So the plinth and everything will be removed?
I believe so, but the city can confirm that.
I guess it's just like a procedural clarifying question. If it's already been removed, there's no opportunity for replacement of any sort. We're asking for folks to join a committee to go through the process of confirming the removal that's already been done? Or is there any opportunity, maybe just building on Lizzie's question, is there any opportunity for part of this committee to reimagine what else could happen?
That's where discussions can happen. So that subcommittee will form from here. And then we are going to request for people that have a history or profession related to the topic or the neighborhoods to join that subcommittee, and then they'll deliberate. The one thing I do know that will need to be replaced is there's one of the signs above 6th Avenue is called Cesar Chavez Way. So there's a plan to replace the sign, but a new name will need to be considered.
Okay. And how many folks from this committee, Yu-Yu, are you seeking to, I mean, I think this is an action item and we're trying to get folks to join now, right?
Yes. And I think the quorum would be three members.
Great. So noting that there may or may not be an opportunity as part of this subcommittee to reimagine, you know, what could be taking its place, even if it's not the same physical space as what was erected before, making sure that we're crossing the T's, dotting the I's on the process. Are there any folks that are interested in joining the Fashion Relocation Subcommittee for this item?
If we're already on that subcommittee, are we automatically back in that subcommittee?
Just to be clear, this would be a brand new subcommittee specifically for the Chavez artworks.
I think that's how it works, right? Is each item that is being considered for deaccession and relocation has its own subcommittee, correct?
Well, we do have our ad hoc subcommittee that was created, I believe, in October of last year for all the accessions. But since this item is, different, we're going to form its own subcommittee for the Cesar Chavez artworks.
For clarification, the city requested a subcommittee specific for all Chavez artworks. There may still be more out there. We just don't have them on record. So that's part of what this is about.
Ah, okay. Cue potentially even more intrigue for folks. There may be other items to consider if you're a part of this committee. Any other?
I kind of feel like I have to say I'm going to be on this committee.
Great. We have one. Thank you, Alicia. Any other selling points? You will win this opportunity for our
You get to help for a name of road sign, but not the actual road, just a sign above it.
If I can propose a little bit of sales pitch for those who are already on a deaccession relocation subcommittee, you are very familiar with the process, so you all would be professionals already for this kind of project.
If you're already a professional.
May I offer also, it's a great opportunity for new members to understand to see how this process is done, and definitely for members whose districts or wards are in the specific area, this would be a very important opportunity to represent your community as a PACDC member for that. It crosses several wards and several districts.
Excellent point, Adriana. Do we have those wards and districts readily available to list out?
Ward 1 and ward 6, but I'm not sure which district.
It's District 5.
Alicia's like, that's me.
As an active union member with the teachers union, I would love to participate.
Lily, thank you. Amazing. We only have one more coveted spot open, everyone.
I'm interested.
Valerie, yay! Okay, we got your three.
We could have more than three, too, if there's more interest.
Up in the ante, Sadie. Do we have a fourth? Going once. Janet, you came.
So this is Janet. I do represent Ward 6, but I have to tell you, I'm already on two active committees with this committee, plus there's a couple other boards, and I have really overbooked myself this summer, so I would otherwise.
Janet, with a very valid out. Any other newer members? Take us up on.
If I may, Chair Eckerman, I would also love to share that. Please correct me if I'm wrong, Wilwin, but I believe that there are only 7 seats total available. And so if there are 3 PACDC members, that leaves room for 4 community members or others that will have a voting opportunity on this subcommittee.
Coming in with that 30,000-foot executive director viewpoint. Thank you, Adriana. I think that's great. We're set at 3 from PACDC. It rhymes, so we're going to go with it. Okay, wonderful. And this is an action item. Does it require a motion and a vote?
It does.
Okay. I will entertain. This is a motion to form this committee, correct?
Correct.
I will entertain a motion to form the deaccession or relocation committee for the Cesar Chavez sculpture at 18th Street and 6th Ave, and maybe including other Cesar Chavez related artworks.
I'll second it.
Oh, would you like to move?
I'll move to do that, yes.
Great. Alicia Vasquez is moving to form this committee. I'm seeing Wesley come off of mute.
I can second that.
Woo! Woo! All right. Awesome. Thanks, friends. We have a new committee, subcommittee.
Oh, Chair Ackerman, we still have to vote.
No, that's right. Sorry, getting ahead of myself. Can we have a roll call vote, please, Sadie?
Of course. Adia Jamil. Adrian Ackerman.
Approve.
Alicia Vasquez.
Approve.
Ann Lopez.
Approve.
Brennan Varela. Jacqueline Jean Barrios.
Approve.
Dusty Reyes. Leanne Hernandez. Jim Glock. Jim Glock.
Sorry, approved.
Thank you. Janet Fisher.
Approve.
Lizzie Golden.
Approved.
Logan Green.
Approved.
Maureen Lewick. Melissa Brown Dominguez. Nancy Fung. Valerie Sipp.
Approve.
Wesley Cree.
Approve.
Lily Tate.
Approve.
Thank you. We have unanimous approval.
Great. And I know I should have asked this question before we voted, but it's just kind of a admin question. Is it okay to still ask if it's about this topic? Cool. Thanks. So I know at the last meeting when this topic came up, we were asking about kind of how the city was able to take this action without first going through this process with us as the the Public Art Committee. And I saw, thank you for that awesome informative presentation with the flowchart and everything, UU. And I guess my question does still remain, like, are there provisions in the ADs? Is there like something somewhere that indicates that the city can take that sort of emergency action without consulting us? I'm not like upset about it or anything. I'm just curious how that is supposed to take place for future incidents like this.
I don't have an answer to that. I don't have enough information, so I can't answer that. But if Wolvin or Adriana.
There's nothing specific in the ADs, but feel free to comb through them again if you want to look deeper.
And so I'll add that, and this is only my understanding, I'm not 100% sure about this, but the ADs are policy and proposal only. They're not, you know, it's what we would like to do in best case scenario. It's not, like, I'll say a legal thing necessarily. When there was public safety involved, transportation swooped in and made a decision without consulting in notes.
Got it. Okay. Yeah, I guess I just, like, as a policy nerd, still have that kind of question outstanding. Just curious if there is anything that gives, I guess that would be like maybe a chart, a hierarchy of decision making in these situations. If anything like that exists, it would be great to know at a future meeting.
That's I like that idea a lot. And I can, going back to use chart, it always comes back to the city manager's office to sign off on it, basically. And so I think that transportation has come, you know, again, working as quickly as they can and working with the city manager as quickly as possible. I think, you know, that approval was kind of at the same time, basically, all happening as quickly as it could just to make sure the public was safe.
Totally. I get that, Kelly. Thank you. I think, yeah, as our city representative on this call, I would just ask from a personal standpoint, not necessarily on behalf of the committee, because I haven't gotten the committee's opinions or consent on this. But it might be nice to have something in place where there, if there is an emergency, this committee still feels relevant, engaged, you know, within our purview. Being consulted in some way, shape, or form, even if action needs to take place before the next scheduled meeting, it might be nice to get a heads up. Cool. Thank you. Okay. Any other thoughts on that before we move on to the next item? Yeah. How's everybody feeling? Okay. Good. Yeah. Good. Okay. Cool. All right. Next item is item number 8, the update from the Arts Foundation's communications team. So this is a presentation and discussion on upcoming grants, programs, and opportunities promoted by the Arts Foundation. It's a study item. We just get to hear from Gia. I'm excited about this. So Gia, if you the floor is yours. Is there a way to ping, Gia?
Yeah, I just, oh, here. Gia?
Hi, folks. I'm so sorry. Apologies. I think I missed I'm called to do. Apologies, Adrian.
We're just on item 8, which is the updates from the communication team on upcoming grants, programs, and opportunities.
Okay. Very quick. So as mentioned, our public artist roster opportunity is still open. We would love your support and outreach. All of us are connected to various artist communities and friends as well. So this is open to our entire service region. I know many of us are connected locally, but if you do have any ties to our larger service region from across the southern border, we would especially love your support there. So that is like our only opportunity currently opening. And I also just want to congratulate Sadie and the public art team and the Salud Arte team for their amazing spotlight on Arizona Illustrated. Currently it premiered last month, and we have the video embedded in on our website, and I would love to share that, and I know Sadie shared that as well in the meeting email. And we have some exciting news about some of these opportunities that have closed and artists that have been selected and recipients as well. Those announcements will be going out sometime next month and in the upcoming month as well. So a lot of good things, but as we know, the fiscal year is closing, and many of our opportunities are closing as well. But I do want to emphasize how important the public artist roster is. This opportunity only opens up every 2 years, and it really helps artists who have been interested in doing public art, but have been predominantly studio artists, get their foot wet. So please support us and promoting. Thank you.
Thanks, Gia. And would you mind terribly, just since I know we have some newer members on the team and there's lots of information that's shared in every meeting, just reviewing like what opportunities but a little bit about the roster and like what opportunities those artists are up for.
Definitely. So the public artist roster opportunity is to get your name on a list. It is to let you, the public artist roster, artists are selected by a panel who decides that these artists belong on a particular list. A short list rather that lives on our website, and they're recommended for any capital improvement project and even some private projects, and correct me if I'm wrong, public art team, for public art private projects that they're requesting recommendations for public artists for projects that are under $100,000. So it's a pretty sizable budget. A lot of public art projects are managed budgets that are larger than that, but regardless, $100K is a sizable budget. So it's an amazing opportunity to just be a part of the shortlist for 2 years for any upcoming project that falls outside of like our normal RFQs, and for these artists to take on these projects. And yeah, I don't know, UU, if you want to chime in and give more of a, like, an articulate overview of this project.
Thanks, Joy. I think you did a great job. But I will just add that this is like a great opportunity for artists of any medium, whether you're a sculptor, muralist, ceramicist, to apply all at once. So this takes off like the administrative burden for both the artists and Arts Foundation as a facilitator. So if we have like in the next fiscal year, I think we have 3 or 4 of these CIP projects under $100,000. So if all these artists apply at once, you don't have to apply to each one. So instead of applying to 4 of these projects, you just apply to the roster. You're on the roster and you're eligible for all of these projects that are coming up in the next 2 years. So it's really to reduce the hurdles and the administrative burden for both artists and for us.
Thank you, UU and Gia. And correct me if I'm wrong, but this, didn't we just, as a committee, recently vote to restrict the area for the pool of applicants from nationally to regionally? Locally? Yeah. Okay. How are we doing in terms of applications?
We could do better, folks. So any support? Here, I'm also going to... Hi, folks. Sorry, I was shuffling around in my house because my office is under construction right now. But yes, our goal is to really have a robust roster, hopefully a pool of like close to 100 artists that we can draw from for future opportunities. But right now, numbers are low. And part of that, I think it's because our applications are fairly rigorous. But I think like this one-to-one, like your connections with artists that are within your network will really push us over the edge. That will convince folks to apply to this amazing opportunity. As you said, like you're on a short list for projects that are over 100K. That's awesome.
Thank you, Gia. And I find it's always helpful when aiming for a goal to know kind of quantifiably like what gap we're trying to close. Do you have any estimate of like how many applicants? You
received so far? Roughly a quarter. So we have quite a gap to bridge.
Okay. So friends, pin this in your thinking caps until our next item, which is coming up shortly, because this is where I'm going to be asking you, who are you going to reach out to? How do we boost these application numbers? Because this is a consequence also of us voting to restrict this area, and we want to make sure that we get as many applicants as possible.
I just want to underscore that a lot of the public debate has been about diversifying like our local aesthetics. Like this is a proactive way to do that. Yeah. So please, this is really important.
Thanks, Gia. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the former roster was not every 2 years, and it was just compiled. So a lot of those artists may not even be practicing anymore. But it was a national call, and we might have made the window a little too small. So depending on how things go in the next 2 weeks before it closes, we may extend it, because having a roster of 20 artists is not going to work. And then, so that's just things to consider as possibly state versus just a service region.
So I have a question. How did you make it too small? How did we make it too small? I mean,
the call was national before.
And so just making it locally made it too small.
Well, we're unsure, but it's only been open for a little while. And this is our first brand new roster call. So we have the option to, as long as we comply with the ADs, change our methods, expand them if we need to. I think the goal here is to have the best pool and not meet specific timelines that we created.
I have another question. How are the artists chosen out of that pool for these projects?
This committee.
I'm sorry?
This committee
So whenever one of those projects come up, it comes before this committee?
No, the sorry, I wasn't here. So what? So roster just takes out the RFQ process. So once these projects come in, the next three projects are starting after the roster is selected. A panel for every public art project.
Okay, so it would be the panel.
Is formed for every single project. Yeah.
Okay.
But I think what Janet, what, and Logan, I see your hand. I'll get to you in just a second. I think what Wilwin thought you might have been asking, correct me if I'm wrong, Wilwin, is like how are the artists that are applying right now for the roster selected? And mm-hmm. that's something that we were discussing, not last meeting, but like the two meetings before that, which was like, are we now going, we're now going to do this kind of hybrid, a few PACTEAN members, several community members are going to get together at a special time outside of this monthly meeting to review the roster. And I think okay. one of the things we were considering as part of that conversation was the workload for the Arts Foundation team and the volume of applications that we received or they received when it was a national call, and also this desire to promote opportunities for emerging artists locally more. And so that's why we, as a committee, I think with only one or two abstaining votes, decided to restrict the application area to Tucson and Southern Arizona. I have a clarifying question for you on how those restrictions might change, Wilwin, but I want to give Logan a platform to ask any question or comment.
Thank you. So I went ahead and I saw the call, and I went ahead and shared it in our community around Groundworks and our youth artists. But I wondered, I know there's information on the website, but I didn't know if there was an actual like flyer or something that is like print outable that we could maybe put around our space, or other organizations besides us might be able to share and put out there.
That's a great question, Logan. And we did talk about that a little bit in our agenda planning meeting for this meeting. It's the meeting we do the week before this meeting where we set the agenda. And thank you for the reminder, because I had asked if it was possible to have like a little media flyer kit or like something we could post easily to Instagram, things like that.
And I did attach an image with our Instagram graphic to our supplemental material email, but it's definitely not like a typical flyer.
Yeah, I saw that, and I'm happy to just, for our space, slap some of the information from the website onto that. But I just didn't know if there was already some existing media info, and in which case, if it's possible to get some, depending on who's kind of could do that. I think that would be really helpful if we are trying to reach a number goal.
It looks like Gia's not on the call anymore, but I could connect with Gia to connect with you, Logan, directly to if you could print the flyers.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we'd be happy to help him. We just, at least for our space, if not for other folks, we're happy to get the word out.
Thank you, Yu. And could you also ask Gia if it's possible to, like, if we, if there is other media that we could individually share to social media, that would be really helpful, too. Because I am going to be asking every member individually in a second here how you're going to share, who you're going to share with, when you're going to share, et cetera. So it'd be nice to have something to share. Lizzie.
How large is the roster right now? Like, what is the goal of how large do you want the roster to be?
I think the goal was stated as roughly 100, and right now we're at like 25. So my clarifying question, Wilwin, were you saying that we could extend the deadline, or in 2 weeks we might automatically expand the service area to, or not the service area, the application residency area to all of Arizona?
Sure. I'm just saying we're thinking about what we could do in the case that the pool is too small. And one of which is, of course, extend the deadline, and another, which will take more work, obviously, because it'll involve committee is service region, state. We're back to nationally, which I don't think anybody wants to do.
So I wonder, procedurally, this might not make sense here, but I wonder if we were able to take an unofficial temp check to see if there's any, like, objection to expanding it to the state at some point. I think just from where I'm sitting, that would be in keeping with the kind of original intent of going from national to Tucson and Southern Arizona. Like, I don't think the state would be edging into like too far of a reach for our territory. But I understand that might require an official vote. So I'm hoping that we would be able to extend the deadline if needed. I mean, first hope is let's get that to that 100. Second hope in the next 2 weeks. Second hope is we could extend the deadline first. And then third would be just kind of a question of what would be the procedure for us as a committee to approve, like, expanding it to the state.
So I think my question earlier, too, had something to do with this. When I said the pool being so small, I'm wondering if we have an idea why that is. Like, has it not been publicized enough? Do we need to really, maybe the flyers are a good idea, or do we need to come up with some other ideas on how we can really get this out? Besides just talking one-on-one, which, you know, a lot of people just don't have the opportunity to do that. So that, I guess that was my question before we extend it to the state. Is there more ways that we can get this?
I can say that we've been using the same methods to promote our RFQs in the same way. And in 2025, using these methods, we have 954 applications for our, like, 10 projects, 164 applications just for Robert Price, 91 just for Danny Lopez, and our recent sellout is 4,418 for the UDOL part earlier. So I think it's more about the language we use. People maybe are afraid to apply, or the region really isn't that dense full of artists, which I don't believe so, because we have more muralists here than I think anywhere else in the world except Mexico City. So yeah. I think it might be the messaging, but I don't necessarily think it's that outreach, or we're not getting into like community pockets.
If I can interject, I think if the deadline is still 2 weeks away, is that correct?
Yes.
I feel like artists are kind of classically procrastinators, and most of the applications are going to rush in the last few days and hours. So,
yeah, that's one that rushes.
Premature worrying.
Exactly. Oh, I mean, I didn't plan on mentioning it, but Adrian touched on it. So just saying that we are planning and preparing in case, but typically all the applications that we get, the majority of them come in a couple of days before. It's just
good point.
Artists and artists from Tucson.
Yeah, good point, Wesley. Okay, and then I guess my other question is, is there an offer for support? I know someone had mentioned that perhaps, I mean, Will, and you just said the language. Somebody else, I think, mentioned that, like, the application process is rigorous. Maybe that was you, and therefore a little daunting to folks. Is there the same sort of Arts Foundation support for applicants in this process as there are for, like, other RFQs available? I'm seeing a nod, yes, from Willwin.
I think with, like, all the other RFQs, of course, if applicants have questions, we are here to, like, answer them. But I think because this is a newer program and it's not, like, a standalone RFQ, the difference in that probably makes it a little bit harder to approach. But we are here to answer any questions. But, yeah, the numbers are so low.
Okay. Well, zooming out, we are still on topic number 8, which is general updates on upcoming grants, programs, and opportunities. Are there any other questions, comments, thoughts that folks want to share on this item? Then we'll move on to item number 9. And thank you, Gia, you, and Wilwin for all the information you shared. So this is the report on education and outreach efforts. This looks a little different than other agendas or agenda items. I'm sorry, we retitled this agenda item from previous meetings. It used to be the education subcommittee kind of report out. And now it's just going to be an opportunity for us to focus specifically on this topic. It's kind of a continuation of what we were just talking about. How do we increase our outreach efforts? How do we increase our impact as individual members of this committee and the committee collectively? And then any updates that folks have on conversations they're having outside of this committee around these sort of topics. I have a few things to cover in this item, but I want to start by continuing the conversation we were just having specifically about this roster item. And I hope this isn't coming out of the, out of the blue for anyone, maybe except Logan, who this is only your second meeting. But I have been talking about this for a bit. Leanne and I have been talking about this as part of the education subcommittee. We have been trying to work towards a moment. We're here now, where we can kind of call on individual members and find out, like, what are the commitments you're going to make as a member of this committee to get the word out about upcoming opportunities? And it's not like to be hierarchical or oppressive or to add more homework to your plate, but it's more just an opportunity for us to kind of workshop together, like, who could we be reaching out to? How are we not duplicating efforts that have already either been made by the Arts Foundation or, say, folks are a member, like members of the same community outside of this group, maybe only one person reaches out. So I would love to model it first and then just kind of like go down the list of members that we have present right now and just start to kind of popcorn brainstorm like who we're going to be reaching out to about specifically this roster opportunity in the coming 2 weeks, when we might be able to do that by, and just make sure that we don't have a ton of duplication in the process. Does that sound amenable to everyone? Agreeable? Okay. Cool. I'm going to be taking some notes. So sorry if you hear some, I'll try to go on mute in between so you don't hear my little clickety clackities. I'll model it first and say that I will definitely, I know that all of these opportunities go out to our elected officials' offices, but it doesn't hurt at all. In fact, could really help when those offices are so busy to hear it from another source as well. So I'm going to be sharing it with the mayor's office who appointed me. I'm a member of a few different like kind of artists, alternative, queerdo groups on Signal, the encrypted messenger chat. I'm going to share that opportunity there. And then I will definitely share it with my Keeling Neighborhood Association. And while folks are kind of sharing where they will also share it, I'll try to think if there's any more. I'm going to make a personal commitment to share that by end of day Friday this week, so Wednesday the 15th, and to do my best to do so I can report back. So that's kind of like the type of information that I'm hoping we can all kind of brainstorm and popcorn and share. I could just go down the list, or if there's anybody that would like to volunteer first to share out in the same way. Jim.
So I, like you, have, you know, my email lists, but I think we need to circle back to having some easily forwarded printable items and packages. So give me something to print, give me something to just cut and paste, give me a couple products that I can then use to facilitate networking with what few folks I know that are interested in art. So that's kind of my two bits.
Yeah, thanks, Jim. I think it's hard without Gia on the call anymore. I'm not sure if anyone else from the Arts Foundation staff can speak to like how quickly we might be able to get that. But I do think that outside of a flyer, it's also like a messaging approach, right? Like if we're thinking that the messaging that already exists for artists is like daunting or maybe a little inaccessible, is it possible for the Arts Foundation team to give us like a little blurb that we could just forward to our networks as well? I just want to ask that generally and then get to Lizzie.
Yeah, we could reach out to Gia and let her know the requests from PACTC and send you more flyers. And we could draft as the public art team some copy that would be helpful.
Cool. Awesome. Thank you so much. Okay, Lizzie and then Jim again.
Yeah, I want to second what Jim has to say. I'm not really on social media, so it's nicer to just have physical things that I can put around town. And like a little, you know, PNG that I can text people, that's also really helpful. Because I feel like a lot of the time I'll get links to Instagram, but I'm not on those things. So just having like a PNG where I can send, you know, people to the website or whatever, that's also feels better. And yeah, can send to, you know, neighborhood associations and other, you know, things like that.
Awesome. While we have you on the platform, Lizzie, are there specific, part of my goal with this and kind of doing this sort of approach moving forward for additional opportunities is to find out, like, are there specific neighborhood associations that you would share it with, or any groups or like communities that you're like, I've got that covered if I get the requisite materials?
It would be Blenman Elm and probably Palo Verde. And I'll reach out to Selena Barajas and just send her, you know, another avenue of messaging, I guess. And then if I have flyers, maybe like Yoga Oasis or something like that, which is somewhere I would go frequent.
Amazing. Thank you for modeling that. And then, yeah, in the future, I think I would love for us to say like, I'm going to try and do it by this date. But since we don't know when we'll get that information from the Arts Foundation team, I'm not going to ask folks to do that today. Jim and then Logan.
I work well with deadlines. And I also work well with, let's see, like shaming. So have a list of those people who did their homework. That's enough. I'm sorry I was raised, but so if you could structure something for those of us who like to have our tails twisted like that, that would certainly help me. And with that, I have to exit the meeting, but I think all our action items are done, so if we drop out of quorum, I don't think I'm disrupting this conversation, I hope. So with that, my two comments, and enjoy the rest of the conversation. Thanks.
Yeah, point of order. I think Jim is our 11th person, so we will have to stop the meeting, whether there's action or not, but I think we're towards the end if we want to wrap up this item.
I'll stick around then.
Oh, thanks, Jim. We'll try to go quickly. That is exactly why that I would not call it light shaming. I'm just going to call it like some shared accountability, commitments to one another. But my hope is to take these notes, send them to Sadie so she can send them out, and to do so with more of like a timeline when we know when we'll get that kind of press kit sort of thing from the Arts Foundation. And I see your hand up, but I did also see Logan's and someone else's just now. So I just... And Valerie. Okay, so if it's okay with you, I'll just go to Logan and Valerie first.
Cool. I just wanted to say I went ahead and shared it while we've been in the meeting with our Discord server for Groundworks with our youth artists, as well as on our social media, so that hopefully, again, just getting it out there more. And then I'll be at the Catalyst space tomorrow, so I can talk to Kevin there and see again if once we get some flyers, we can put some up there, because there's always artists in and out of that space, and then in our physical space as well. And I think I'll start with that.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Logan. Okay, Valerie.
Yeah, I can. I can share them. I can, once we have something printable, I can post it around some neighborhoods near me, Rosemont West, Colonia Del Val. There's some kind of public boards where you can put up flyers. I'd be happy to do that. And also, I don't know if there's any other people who have connections on campus at the U of A, but I have colleagues kind of spread around and that have different communities that I know have artists in them. So I can send an email out this week and make people aware, and then offer to help walk people through the process if they need that additional support.
Valerie, that's so generous. Thank you so much. Awesome. Okay, great. Anne.
Okay. We have something that I can print, or a blurb that I can post on the Vail and Rita Ranch websites. I can post in the Rhythm Industry Performance Factory, which has a number of musical and art groups who attend there. That would get that fairly quickly, and I can post at the Art Y.
What was the very last one?
Art YMCA.
Thank you. Great. Okay. Janet and then Lily. This is going so amazingly. Thank you so much, y'all, for being on board, for sharing where you are going to share. Janet.
So our city council office, Ward 6, is really supportive of all the boards and commissions, and I am sure that they'd be happy to post in their newsletter, in their newsletter monthly. I don't know when it comes out. I'll have to check something about this, or if we have something that we can give them to post in, they can. So my husband teaches in the art department at Pima, and I can give him something to hand out to people, although school is out next week, so I've got to do it like this week. We can do that. And I can go on the website and get off of there what is on there already if we don't have something together for him, because like I said, school's out next week. I do have some very active artist people I'm not personally involved in their groups, but they are, and I can get the word to them.
Amazing. And if the attachment that Sadie sent with the supplemental materials for today works,
yes,
to share with your husband, maybe that's good.
I will.
Okay. Thank you. And Logan, that just reminded me, would you be willing to, I know you listed already so many things you've already done, but would you be willing to also send to Ward 3?
As the sure. Ward 3?
Okay, cool. Thank you. All right, Lily.
I'm going to share with the Arizona Women's Chorus group that I'm with. I know it's a group of about 100 ladies with all sorts of connections additionally all over town. So I'll share with them and encourage them to share as well.
Thank you. You just reminded me that I could share with my choir as well. Awesome. Okay, great. Okay, let's see. Alicia?
Yes, I will share with some traditional artists. I know some folks that have been chingering that the same year list get picked, so they're going to get on this list. And the Mexican-American Heritage and History Museum social medias. So I will be waiting for that flyer. So thank y'all.
Awesome. Okay, let's see. Anybody else that hasn't shared yet? We got Lucy, we got Jacqueline Jean Barrios.
I just sent it to someone. So I just wondered about, like, do we have sort of a protocol in terms of like getting things out as far as our marketing thing, like wouldn't want to duplicate sending it to College of Fine Arts, CCP, Arizona Arts, you know, those people. I figured like this is more for like our own individual, like there's kind of like a system that already goes out, and then we're kind of doing more sort of this more niche like types of outreach. That's just like a question I have, because
outreach is like there's so many different structures and levels. So just I'm curious if we already have like one sort of more like blanket all the arts organizations and institutions here on locally, and then we can just do more of a sort of like a one-on-one or specific places that we're at.
We do I'm so sorry, Adrian.
No, that's okay.
We do have, Gia has a list of like a comms list that she regularly goes like shoots off emails to, but I think maybe like if you do have thoughts on like individual artists that you know would be a great fit, targeted outreach would be also amazing.
Yeah, great. Because I just want to make sure that's what we're thinking about, like, or individual professors who teach like an arts education, for example, at U of A or something. Or
exactly. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Versus like the same like Charles Snyder College of Fine Arts or something like that. But yeah, cool. I will keep thinking of folks.
And I think all I was going to interject is that it's also kind of a combo platter. So, for example, the Arts Foundation has already sent this notice out to like the individual offices that have appointed some of us, right? But it doesn't hurt to follow up as an appointee to double down on that messaging, because they receive so much information. And the same may be true of these larger arts organizations that, yes, are receiving this from the Arts Foundation, but also if they're then again receiving it from a community member, especially a committee member, it may jolt them into a little bit more action. So I think it's kind of like a choose your own adventure, and combo platters are welcome as long as we're not like getting into a situation where we're like hounding an organization that may already have received the information or posted it. We only have a couple more minutes left. I think I have a couple more members to get to. But Will, when I just saw you come off mute, do you have anything that you wanted to interject there?
I'm just saying the more the merrier. I mean, think of it as like boosting a post on Instagram, but we're doing it. So real actions.
Got it.
Thank you. Great question. And let's see, I think the only other person would be Wesley. Did you have anything in mind? And then Jim.
I need to go really badly, but I'm just going to reach out to artist friends who I know will be great applicants.
Great. And then Jim?
Sorry, I just was fussing around.
Oh, no worries. Okay. Great. Thank you so much, everyone. I think we will just wait to hear back from the Arts Foundation about like the blurbs and other materials that people can use for this outreach, hopefully getting that as soon as possible. And then I'll ask Sadie, I'll send you these notes, and if you could send them out to everyone. So we just have that kind of like, this is what I signed up for reminder. Really quickly, any additional additions for future agenda, any requests for future agenda items before we adjourn? That's item number 10 on the agenda. Hearing none, we are at 5:00. Thank you, everyone. Really appreciate your time and support today and your engagement. I hope you have a wonderful month and we get a lot of roster members. The meeting is adjourned at 5 p.m.
Thank you.
Bye. Thank you. Great.